The attacker had very good knowledge of banking systems.
$2.1 billion in stolen funds.
Money laundering operations.
A cyber criminal group.
These are smart guys.
From the BBC World Service, The Lazarus Heist is back for a brand new season.
Catch up with season one of the podcast now by searching for The Lazarus Heist wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
And get ready for season two, coming next week.
Thanks for downloading the Sporting Witness podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Laura Jones. As the Women's Six Nations Rugby Tournament gets underway, I'm taking you back to the first ever competition. I've been speaking to one of France's star players who ended her career in the winning team. It's March 2002 and Nathalie Amiel is about to play for France, knowing it will be her last season after a glittering career.
Winning a Six Nations tournament is almost better than winning the European Cup against Italy. It's the Holy Grail, the top of the basket. It's the best you can do in European rugby.
Nathalie grew up in the southern French countryside in the quiet village of Capistan, where they were crazy about rugby.
I live in a village where we live and breathe rugby, and we discuss rugby on a daily basis. Rugby is a big part of my village. In fact, on weekends, when the French national team lost, we would take out the football, never the rugby ball. That should tell you how people in the village feel.
Rugby definitely wasn't seen as a sport for women, though. But that changed for a young Nathalie in 1982, when her mum saw an advert in the local newspaper.
No. There was no visibility of women. It was a newspaper article recruiting female players who wanted to try rugby in Narbonne that encouraged me to go into the sport. At the time, I thought women were not allowed to play rugby. I remember my first time there because I was turning 12 the next day, and they didn't want me because I was only 12. I was too young. My mom asked them to let me train anyway, to give it a try to see if I liked it or not. After that go, they told me, "We're keeping you. Never mind the age, we'll adapt."
So Nathalie was playing rugby at the age of 12 in two teams, one with Narbonne women and the other with boys in her village. And she loved it. She was allowed to do things she wouldn't normally get away with.
Everything that was prohibited at school, shoving, falling on the ground, heckling, fighting for the ball, all these things that I did on a daily basis with my brothers. I loved everything. There wasn't anything that I didn't like. It was rugby as a whole that worked perfectly for me, for my character. I did judo, and I learned how to fall and stand back up immediately, being tackled, standing up again, tackled, and keep getting up. I rarely stayed on the ground.
In
1986, after just a few years playing rugby, Nathalie was selected to play for the French women's national team and travel abroad. She was still just a teenager.
I was a bit young, so I didn't understand at first what was happening to me. The year before, they'd refused me because of my age. So being able to do them after, I didn't really know where it was taking me. Honestly, at 15 years old, you don't imagine yourself playing in the French national team with adults. It was during our first game against Great Britain that I realized the privilege that I had to be able to play at this level. I was only 15. I was in London. It was my first big trip, my first game.
At the time, Nathalie says women's rugby was definitely not taken very seriously.
There was the French Federation of Men's Rugby and the French Federation of Women's Rugby, two completely separate federations. We weren't really accepted. Even more, we weren't tolerated.
After her young start, playing internationally aged just 15, Nathalie became an integral part of the France team for more than a decade, winning the Five Nations once and the European Championships four times.
I played flanker, scrum half, centre, and a bit of fly half. I played all positions a bit, come to think of it. At the end of my career, I enjoyed being the centre or eighth. We managed the game, we managed the ball. When you have a bit of experience, you master that a bit better than when you're young.
The women's rugby teams of England, France, Ireland, Scotland, Spain and Wales were set to have their own Six Nations in 2001, Natalie had been playing internationally for 15 years, and France were doing well.
I was captain twice for two world championships. My role was mostly to be an example, to be unifier in the game and the engagement of players on the field.
But in February 2001, events outside of the rugby team's control put the brakes on both the women's and the men's competition, thanks to the highly infectious foot and mouth disease outbreak across the UK, as reported on the BBC.
The full impact of the foot and mouth outbreak. No international rugby in Cardiff this weekend. The Irish team won't travel to play Wales, and England's forthcoming match in Ireland is in real doubt. The whole Six Nations programme faces huge disruption.
We were worried because we were told it might not happen, so we were impatiently waiting to know if we were really going to do it or be able to do it.
Finally, the tournament happened properly in 2002, the very first women's Six Nations, and France were on top form.
The team was well regarded. Winning in France when you're a women's team is not enough. The show was there, and the victories too. We checked both boxes. So the team was popular because we gave a good performance. We were really happy because we wanted to reunite and live a beautiful collective story. We sensed we could do something that year, which wasn't true the years before.
France were the ones to beat. Here's Naomi Thomas from the Welsh side speaking to the BBC.
An aggressive side. They perform pretty much like the men, quite forward orientated. Hopefully our pack will match up to that.
But Wales didn't stand a chance against France, and neither did any of the other teams. They beat each and every one.
We played rugby à la French. We counter-attacked, taking risks that succeeded. À la French indeed, playing against the play of our adversaries. We had finally won a major title, the Six Nations tournament. There were a lot of people in the stadium. It was in Moulins in France. My family was there, and it was something I could share with them. It was a good omen for the World Championship, which was coming up in Barcelona.
So this was not only an important moment in women's rugby history, but also Nathalie Amiel's last season of her career.
For me, it was my last game in the Six Nations tournament because I stopped playing rugby that season. It was special. Even if you tried to forget, there was always someone to remind you. Also, on the last game, they had the bad idea of getting my oldest son to bring me the ball for the game. So in terms of emotions, it was huge. It took me until halftime before I was able to feel back in the game. I had my son Quentin, who was then 3.5 years old. I was tired of running, preparing myself physically, using up my family time. It weighed on me more and more. I was not physically tired, but I was mentally tired. If you combine work, family, rugby, training, from the end of July to the end of June every year, those are long days.
Nathalie still thinks there's a long way to go in the journey for equality between the men's and the women's rugby game.
It lasted for my whole career. It's still ongoing, and it will probably last a long time. We were first accepted because the previous president, Albert Ferras, said, we have to keep these female players, because later they will be mothers, teachers, sports teachers, and they will more likely bring their child to play rugby than football. That's how we were considered.
Nathalie Amiel is now a rugby coach, still living in Capistan in the south of France. She believes she was very lucky to be part of the growth of women's rugby.
I was privileged to have the skills at a time when women's rugby needed them. I don't necessarily look back on it. I'm privileged, I participated and met incredible people. But I don't really look back on things. I mostly look forward, not what happened in the past.
Nathalie was speaking to me, Laura Jones, for that edition of the Sporting Witness podcast.
When you meet someone online, can you trust they are who they say they are?
I just started to interact with this person.
I keep thinking so much about you.
Love, Janessa, a true crime podcast from the BBC World Service and CBC Podcasts, investigating the murky world of online romance scams.
It's all well planned.
She said, if you really loved me, you'd do what I asked you to do.
Catch up with the whole series now. Search for Love, Janessa, wherever you found this podcast.